Yellow Sky Podcast. We're your host. I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult, so you know what that means. You know what time it is. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for choosing us to hang out with you on this wonderful Monday morning. We're here to help you get through that work week.
I feel like we're a beautiful start to the work week.
Yeah, look at us. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
If this doesn't kickstart your work week, I don't know what will.
That's a good point.
You know? So deal with it. Deal with it. If you're new here, we like to talk about some things. So you're gonna want to fast forward if you just want to get right to the crux of the show. If you want to listen to us talk, feel free to hang out. We go through some housekeeping and all the good stuff. Yeah, the stuff. Intro stuff that everybody wants to cry about. But if you like that kind of thing, feel free to hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Glad to have you back. Kyle's told me that he has found the craziest dogman encounter that I will ever hear.
It is crazy, and it is something that a long time ago got posted into Discord when I was trying to find a specific dogman story, and I finally did a story on it. I'm glad that I did, because it is off the chain.
That's a dog pun.
It kind of is.
Hello? That's a dog pun. Dog man pun.
We're good.
We're more clever than we think we know. We are.
True story.
Yeah. Check us out on all our social medias. All the social media, search up Hollow Sky Podcast. We'll be there. Join the cult. Join the community. Join the movement. Join the culture that is Hollow Sky Podcast. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to share on a future show, Kyle has some information for you.
I do. It's easy. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. If you don't feel like typing it out, you can click on the show notes, then click on the link there. There are links in the show notes. All the information you're going to need is there. Write your story out, as much detail as you can. Shoot it over. We'll find it. We'll air it eventually. You'll be famous and rich, and we'll be here.
Yeah. Doing what we do.
Your humble servants.
Making people famous and rich.
It's what we do.
It's simple science, really.
Yeah, and we're glad. We're glad to do it.
It was our calling. Somewhere down the line.
We're just out here doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, doing the Hollow Cult's work.
Yeah. Same thing.
Basically. Yeah, if you'd like to support the show, you can hop on over to Patreon. Hop on over. That's from last week's Bunny.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny episode. Hop on over there. Take your chain off. Hop on over there. You can wear your chain in. I don't care.
Yeah.
We don't. It's all for everyone. Check it out. See if there's anything you like there. You can get ad-free episode there. You don't get Kyle and Steve talking free episodes there. Because those don't exist. Because this is a podcast and we talk on it. So that's something you're going to have to get over.
True.
But yeah, check it out. There's tiers over there for stuff. Go to hollowskypodcast.com. We got merch there. You can go check that out. See if there's something you want to rock. Sticker to put on your water bottle. Shirt to put on your body. It's easy.
Yes.
The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Share it on socials whenever we drop one. Interact with it. Comment, like, share. Go to the YouTube. Hype the video. Comment in the video. Subscribe. Subscriber count matters. It matters.
We don't really know why, but it does.
No. We are only in. I'm going to put a ticker on there to see how far we are away from getting our first YouTube plaque. As of right now, get ready.
We're close.
We are only 94,584 subscribers away from getting that 100,000 subscriber plaque.
We're close.
We're churning.
We're close.
So
I'm excited.
You only have to go over there and click one button and it's good for life.
I'm excited.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
We're manifesting.
Hell yeah.
I normally would read a 5-star rating and review, but I didn't find one this week. So make sure you go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I will find it sometime and read it out loud.
I feel like we need about 40,000 positive reviews.
And subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we're pretty much the funniest people I know.
Same.
We talk about weird stuff. Weird and funny go hand in hand.
Every day.
So, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're here.
You can also support us by supporting our wonderful sponsors that you're going to hear from probably right now.
Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity? Try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO.
And just like that, we are back, Holocult. Welcome. Come in. Pull up a chair. Sit around the fire while Kyle tells you about the Dogman.
A tale unlike any other.
A tale like a dog has.
Damn it. It's another one I made on not purpose.
Kyle's just zinging them today.
I'm sending it. All right. This is the Siege of Lockett Ranch. So I'm not 100% sure where this or who the submitter is. Later on, in like a couple minutes here, I basically change or give the submitter a name. We call him John, just to help with the flow of the story.
It's a pseudonym, if you will.
Yeah, and it's all written in a firsthand account. But I'm going to try to explain it a little bit different and not do it verbatim, read the story verbatim, which I have actually stumbled on.
Yes. It's
kind of fucking crazy. Yes. That people are just out doing that.
I just want to go to these places when I hear like Siege of this, Siege of Ape Canyon.
Bro, this is fucking crazy.
I want to go there.
This story is crazy.
I want to be there.
How we haven't already done it, I don't know. Probably because I just brain fart and lose things, but...
We are terrible about that.
Yeah. So here we go. The submitter says they don't want the location of the property disclosed.
And that'd be why we haven't been there.
Yeah. He goes on to tell of the dogmen and what he knows about them. He says his first encounter with them was when he was 12 years old. This person and family's lineage goes back to 1832. When Taylor, Mississippi was actually founded. His family was some of the first people to move into the area. They worked in mills owned by Mr. John Taylor of Mississippi. Eventually, the Lockett family were able to get a decent piece of land where the submitter's grandfather, Edward Lockett, and Edward Lockett Sr. and grandmother, Virginia Lockett, built a farm. Instead, instead of submitter, let's call him John. So John's mother died during childbirth.
R.I.P.
He was raised by his father, Edward Jr., and his grandparents. As a boy, he was responsible for getting simple chores done around the farm, doing everything from feeding the hogs, the chickens, to gathering corn from the fields. John says the property is rather large, and apparently they owned so much land in the area that there were actually parts of their property that they had never explored.
Nice.
So they owned that much property.
I wish I had so much property that I couldn't even explore it.
Yeah, same. It'd be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So he lays out some of the area, saying that the farm was on a 5-acre clearing in the middle of the woods. The property is oriented north to south, with the home in the southeast corner of the clearing. Behind the home is a cornfield that extends the entire depth of the clearing, which stops roughly 75 feet from the wood line. To the west of the cornfield was the barn, hog pens, chicken coops, and a storage shed. Beyond that, to the west, was a ridge line that ran along the length of the clearing. John was told that the property itself was purchased from the Chickasaw Indians. The Chickasaw were a very proud and civilized people with their own laws and religion. Above all, they were warriors and developed a reputation as a force to be reckoned with. John's father told him that deep within the boundaries of the property was the heart of the Chickasaw Nation. This is where they would bury their dead and praise their gods. For a long while, which also is kind of weird that they... the Lockett family was able to purchase this property, considering it had such deep ties to the Chickasaw people. So there's a reason as to why this property ends up falling into the Lockett family's hands. Because you would think that the Chickasaw would not want essentially their holy place to be gone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Unless there were some shenanigans.
Some shenanigans. So for a long while on the farm, our life on the farm was very quiet and normal. That was until 1948, when John's grandfather signed a deal to provide oak and hickory wood to a local sawmill. So basically they agreed to have the land logged. Which... it's kind of a, I understand it, but I also think that it's a dumb idea. But there's shitloads of money to be made when you do that. You know, also considering a holy place is nearby, and I know that they, you know, essentially bought it fair and square, but you would also think that the Chickasaw Indians really didn't plan on having the area logged.
No.
Disturbing all this property.
No. I'm probably guarantee that wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah. So anyways, from that day forward, logging trucks were going back and forth. It became a very busy place. As you can imagine, in the first few weeks moving forward, they were creating logging roads to go deep into the forest. And the dirt road on the farm was widened to accommodate all the truckers. And trees were cleared to create these roads going deep into the woods. After 2 weeks of clearing, John's father drove the road that extended at least 7 miles deep into these woods. So they were going all out
That is a big property if you can go 7 miles into the woods.
Yeah. And that wasn't even the entirety of the property. That's just where they, I guess, that maybe agreed to stop or whatever. And as John and his father are going down this road, John describes seeing massive trees, like these massive oak trees just all sprawled out, covered in moss, which tells you the area is old as fuck. It takes a long time for oak trees to get massive. John said the area had a feeling to it, like something was lurking nearby. John's father was not very comfortable in that area at all. And I'm assuming they got out and explored a little bit because John started to climb up one of these large oak trees. He said his father was feeling a little off and started to tell John, like, hey, get out of the fucking tree, get back in the truck. We need to get out of here. We need to leave. John said the look on his face that day would be something that he would never forget. His dad had fear painted all over his face. He knew something wasn't right. That following week, the logging went into full effect. A crew of 30 men came in with a foreman that went by the name Mr. David. They were there day in and day out. John's grandfather had his best friend Barnaby with him. They were going off deep into the woods hunting and trapping.
Shout out Barnaby.
Barnaby, it's a good name, solid. On one of these hunting trips, John's grandfather was alerted to something being wrong on the property. So his grandfather and his friend were well beyond where the workers or the loggers were working. So you're talking 7+ miles away from home. Anyways, they were out and about and came across several severed deer heads.
That's not
good. Only the heads, too. And one of the heads was actually impaled on top of a stick that was stuck into the ground.
That's not good.
Which, you know, not knowing what's actually lurking out there, regardless, it kind of feels like a border. Like, hey.
Bad omen.
Yeah. You shouldn't be going past this point or we're going to have fucking problems. That's kind of how I would take that.
Yeah, I think it
as a sign that I probably don't belong here.
Time to call her a day, fellas. Yeah. Call her quits.
So that night over dinner, Barnaby was talking and he said how he was saying how it felt like they were being watched from all angles when they were that deep in the woods. He said it was like the woods were alive. It wasn't long after this that the loggers started to talk, and some of those tales got back to the family. They were speaking of dark, fast-moving figures that would follow them throughout the woods, which prompted the men to start leaving the area well before sunset, which started to cause problems because the foreman, Mr. David, he's trying to chase that paper, and he's like, hey, every second of daylight, we need to be out there working, boys. We got to get this job done so we can make that money. Yeah. Which is typical foreman bullshit.
Time to lean, time to clean.
That's right.
Dorks.
So on a Tuesday evening, right before sunset, a group of loggers came flying down the road in their pickup. Mr. David, who was a massive man, he was 6'9".
What?
Yeah. Massive dude.
Big Dave.
Oh, Big Dave sees these guys coming and he stands in the middle of the road to block them from leaving. They come to a halt, get out, and some of the men were white in the face like they had seen ghosts or something. And others were watching the woods and the ridgeline to see if anything was going to be coming out of the woods. John said all the men were speaking at the same time. You could tell they were all in just an absolute fear. All of them were saying that one of the men had straight up disappeared. All they were able to find was a torn shirt with blood on it.
Not good.
John points out that these men were loggers, some of the toughest dudes around at that time. These men had seen some shit. Horrible accidents, gruesome deaths, all of the above. But these men were terrified. And I'd be just as scared as these guys because one of the men started saying, listen, they're walking back to their truck. Dude's right behind them. They're talking. And all of a sudden, all they hear is a grunt. And he's like, I turned around and he was gone. Like he'd vanished into thin air. And all that was left was the shirt and the blood.
No. No, thank you.
That sucks.
That's missing 411 shit.
Yeah. The man said there's something in these woods, something we don't need to be messing with.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I agree. So that night, John's grandfather and his friend, Barnaby, and Mr. Big Dave.
Big Dave. Shout out, Barnaby.
All went into the woods to find out what was going on. And they also were kind of making an attempt to find this missing logger. When they returned, John said all the men were speaking in hushed tones, which was weird for the household because John said they were a pretty open family. They didn't really keep secrets from each other. They just put all the business out at dinner, you know, which is like admirable.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a solid family right there.
Yeah.
So at that point, John knew something was going on and also that they were trying to keep something from him. But it didn't work. Because at 4:30 a.m., the dogs on the property started to bark. They had four large dogs, all mixed breeds. And I believe that they were German Shepherds mixed with Collies. So they were a decent sized and relatively smart dog.
Yeah.
So John gets up and goes in the living room where at this point, everyone else is already there and they all have weapons with them. So you're talking Barnaby.
Shout out Barnaby.
Grandpa and Dad. They're all in the living room with their weapons. Like, you know something's going on.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't necessarily want to be on the other side of the door.
No. John doesn't really know what's going on. So he's like, what's happening, Grandpa? What's going on? Or Grandma. So he's talking to Grandma at this point. Well, she tells John that the men, while out investigating the woods, looking for the logger, shot a large animal in the woods that day. And they believed that others had followed them back to the house. So they decided at that point to bring all the dogs into the house. They also put John and Grandma up in the attic of the house, which just tells you at that point they anticipate some fucked up shit to happen.
Yeah.
The dogs were in the house, and at this point, they are running from room to room, barking and growling. So something's obviously going on outside. Even with all that noise going on, the dogs, the people talking, John said a growl came from nowhere and it overpowered everything. He's like, dude, this thing was so ridiculous. I swear it shook the floorboards in the attic. It was that powerful. So his grandma goes towards the front of the attic where this little window was, and she looked out, which, to be honest, I would have done the same thing. You don't have something like that going on and not look.
No, no. You got to know your enemy.
Yeah. John said she never did end up describing what she saw, but he could tell that whatever it was, it had to have been a monster by the way Grandma looked. Then John heard what sounded like somebody bashing against the side of the house. Creepily enough, it smashed against the house over and over and over again. Which, ironically enough, reminds me of one of my stories when I encountered a dog outside.
Yep.
Which just made me feel gross as I'm reading through the story. Well, then the boys let loose. They start shooting. And they started, John said it lasted for about an hour and a half. So the boys, Grandpa, Dad, and Barnaby weren't having it that night. They said, fuck this. You want to come get it? They start shooting. And all of a sudden, the silence is over. Or all of a sudden, it was over. There was silence. And they hear a howl off in the distance. Later on, Grandma essentially says nope. She packs all of her shit and moves two towns over to stay with Mr. David's wife at their house.
I mean, I don't blame her.
Not at all. Not at all. Especially as we get deeper into the story.
At this point, they don't know it's a dog man.
At this point, I think all the adults, including Grandma, know that there's a wolf-like creature outside.
Yeah.
Because she's seen something that fucked her up where she's like, nope, I'm done. Fuck this. And to be honest, you know, this is all coming from John's perspective. I wouldn't be surprised if Grandpa was like, listen.
Get her out of here.
You need to go.
Yeah.
Also, you can tell the age, the origins of the story because they let the boy stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I feel like that's a very old mentality of like, you're a man.
Yeah.
You know, you might be 11, but you can shoot.
Yep.
So you're staying and fighting.
You'll learn today.
Right.
You'll learn today.
Anyways, oddly enough, later that day, John said there were more loggers on the property than he had ever seen. They weren't equipped with saws, though. They all had shotguns rifles, which... kind of as I previously stated, but I'm going to reiterate, I fucking admire this. No running, no crying,
ten
no
toes
bitching.
Down, baby. 10 toes down.
Just bring the fucking rain. Let's get it, boys. They ain't stopping us from this money. Okay? All the men were gathered at the house. And as John made his way through the crowd to see what all the commotion was and what they were talking about, well, John found out what was making that noise the night before. John saw a dead hog laying there.
Oh.
That's what had been used.
To hit the house?
To hit the house.
No, thank you.
All that was left, John said all that was left was a blob of fat, blood, and bone.
No, thank you. I have heard a similar dogman story.
Have you?
In recent times.
That's crazy.
Yes. Where a man had a German shepherd and she had just had puppies and he had went to work, and when he came back, the German shepherd's enclosure had been torn to shreds. Just the tin shredded, the fence shredded, and he sees what he thinks is her laying over by this tree. And when he goes over there, he finds his dog, and it's just obliterated. He said it looked like someone had grabbed her by her hind haunches and just swung her against this tree over and over.
That's crazy.
And all of the puppies were gone. They never found any of those, but it was somewhere in the South in Kentucky or Tennessee or something. I can't remember where the source of the story is, but it reminded me of that from that thing using the hog to beat against the side of the house.
Well, this story, in my opinion, makes Dogman way more terrifying. So, you know, and as John's standing there, he witnesses this blob of meat and viscera. He also sees all the blood scattered across the house. And he's like, the flies were everywhere at that point. They were also able to find large canine prints all around the house. That day, everyone, 34 men and little John, went looking for the monsters. He said they all went all over. He described how at some points it was small hills and ridges to moss-covered oaks that barely let any sunlight in, to wetlands that were hard to travel through. Here Little John was, waist deep in water, with his gun over his head, looking for these monsters that ran off his Nana. Then the party came across some bizarre giant structures. John said they looked like a nest where someone or something had burrowed its way into the ground. Around noon, they were tracking their way back out towards the trucks. Mr. David and his father found what they believed to be a Chickasaw burial mound. They had a number of large rocks that formed a rectangular shape inside of a small clearing. The ground rose steeply, forming a large mound. This discovery seemed to bother Mr. David a lot. He hurried back to his truck at that point. They went back to the house around sundown and met the men in the barn to do a head count. All 34 men were accounted for. And then 10 men volunteered to stay that night in the barn and kind of run protection throughout the night. So Ed Sr., Ed Jr., Barnaby, and David all stayed in the house that night. Two dogs were placed in the barn, and two dogs stayed inside the house. And I think if it was me in that situation, I wouldn't have split the pack up. I'd put all my eggs in one basket. I would have said, nah, fuck that. We're all going to stay in the house tonight. I don't care how cramped it is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. More firepower, the better.
Yeah, and being split up like that, it just sounds bad.
Yeah, it's you know, horror movie 101.
Yeah, you don't split up ever.
Split up, you die.
That's right.
Amateurs.
Anyways, that night, John's father stepped out on the back porch to have a smoke, and that's when Little John seen the dog man for the first time. He was opening the porch door to bring his father some matches when he sees a large figure standing among the rows of corn in the field. The corn was brown, and this figure that was standing there was fucking massive. It was gray, and it stood out in the corn and the moonlight. Charlie, the largest of all the dogs at this point, sensed something was wrong, barrels past Little John out on that back porch and plants itself right in between the monster and Charlie, or in John. So Charlie's being the dog it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It says, fuck this, I'm saving you, and I'm going to fight this big bitch.
R.I.P. Charlie.
John said, and keep in mind it's a little kid description, but he swears that this dog man had to have been every bit of 10 feet tall.
Big boy.
A fucking truck.
He just shadows Big Dave.
Yeah. Yes.
That's insane.
And this gray figure is standing there kind of looking around, apparently. It hasn't quite locked on to Charlie and his dad. Charlie, John, and his dad. But then Charlie growls at it, and this thing turns its head and faces them.
It just looks at him like, wrong answer.
Yeah. John said the moonlight could be seen reflecting off its eyes, which gave it an amber reflection. Then it stepped outward of the corn into the open. John said this thing had a giant wolf head, at least four times the size of Charlie's head. Which, like I said,
what?
Charlie was at least a mix of a German Shepherd. So take a German Shepherd's head.
Big dog.
And four times it. John said he could hear this kind of bizarre popping noise, and he describes it as like human joints cracking, but it was way louder. And before, like,
oh, that's so gross.
So this creature standing there, he hears this popping noise, but it was so fast because that was the noise, I guess, as the creature's getting down on all fours.
That's so gross.
Yeah, and John's dad reacted and shoots at this thing.
Understandably.
I'm assuming he missed it, and you'll understand why later. But that shotgun shot snaps John out of this trance that he was in. Because, I mean, you're staring at a massive thing that's not supposed to exist. I can understand how you get locked in. You're a little focused.
Yeah.
Right? So John and his dad go back inside immediately and shut the door. Now, poor Charlie is left out there to square off against the big guy. It wasn't much of a fight. They heard Charlie growling, and within seconds it turns into a cry and then a loud thud against the top of the door.
That's not good.
No. And I guess at that point, all hell breaks loose. Everything was making noise. The men, the guns, the chickens, the hogs, everything was in a panic that night.
R.I.P. Charlie.
R.I.P. Charlie. You did what you were supposed to do, big
good boy
dog.
Charlie.
You did what you were supposed to
do. I don't think people understand how tall 10 feet tall is. That's what I've been looking up. Like, that's a regulation NBA basketball hoop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I equate 10 feet.
That's tall.
It's fucking massive.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, it's coming from John, a little boy. Might be a little exaggerated. I would say you're looking at least 7 to 10 feet.
Yeah. Even half that distance, 8.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's
massive.
Monstrous.
Massive.
And think.
That's Bigfoot height.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is way more aggressive than Sasquatch, at least toward people anyway. Yeah. With the giant canid head. And it's already proven that it just kills to kill. It's not killing to eat. It used a hog as a weapon.
Yeah.
Which is unfathomable.
I mean, that's almost like demented. Like, I can't really find the word for it, but it's fucked up that it would grab a hog and use it as, like, a bat to just beat the side of the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel like it takes a level of intelligence to do that. Not to mention, imagine the amount of strength it takes to pick up a hog.
That's exactly what I was just looking at.
I mean, you're talking hundreds of pounds.
If it were a wild hog, which I'm assuming is not because they were on a farm.
Yeah.
Wild hog is anywhere 75 to 250 pounds, but big hogs are 500 plus, some well bigger than that.
Like, yeah.
That's a lot of meat to be swinging.
It's crazy. The amount of strength that it takes to do that is nuts.
Crazy.
And I feel like at this point in the story, that's just a fraction of what this creature is capable of.
Maybe I won't wear a pork chop suit out in Dogman territory.
I'm telling you, this story changes the way you think about Dogman.
Maybe I won't do that.
So, like I said, that night, everything's in a panic. And that night, Barnaby said he counted at least 12 different creatures.
Oh.
So it's not just one.
Oh.
And it really does lay out that it was a fucking siege.
So, okay.
12.
If there's one thing worse than a 10-foot dog man, it's a baker's dozen.
Yeah.
10-foot tall dog men people. Yeah. That's crazy.
It is asinine. So,
hate that for them.
The men were pretty fucking sure they were hitting these things, and it didn't seem to do anything to them.
That makes it a lot worse.
Right.
Bulletproof.
However,
dog men.
However, I don't think that's the case.
I'm hoping.
I don't think that's... I know that's not the case. So anyways, after this night was over and they met up with the men in the barn, they described what they had all been seeing. So, you know, Barnaby, Dad, Grandpa, and John were in the house fighting off their batch. The men in the barn were also fighting off a batch.
Oh, that sucks.
So the men in the barn were saying, and this is crazy. So you got big boy.
Yeah.
10-footer, jacked, right?
Yeah. Hog swinger, if you
will. Hog swinger. That's a good name for him. It's a good name on a lot of different levels there.
Yeah.
The men in the barn were saying they were seeing some slender and lean ones with wolf heads and shorter snouts. And that these ones were just like the big one. They would see them switch rapidly from two legs to four very quickly.
That's so creepy.
And I know from reading later on that some of these other ones were actually shorter than old big boy.
That's so creepy.
So you're dealing with little ones too.
I hate that they just...
Well, littler ones. They're all big, but...
So fluidly move from bipedal to quadrupedal.
It's terrifying. It almost should be non-existent, but...
Yeah.
It happens.
The way they describe the bones cracking the first time it happened is such a werewolf lore. Trope.
Yeah.
Like,
might be where the trope came from.
That's what I was thinking. It's gross.
It is disgusting. So, like I said, the men were describing what they had seen. They also did find Charlie's body torn to pieces among the rows of corn.
Damn it, Charlie.
He did die a hero. After that, no one showed back up to log the property.
Oh, I mean, fair.
And 10 of the men that were logging the property urged the family to leave as soon as possible. They're like, you didn't even just get the fuck out of here.
Also fair.
Mr. David, on the other hand, was fit to be tied.
Big Dave's got logs to haul.
Big Dave has logs to haul. He's like, fuck this. We need to be staying and finishing this damn job so we can get paid.
We got Big Dave the log swinger versus 10-footer the hog swinger.
Yeah. I feel like the hog swinger has a leg up.
He's got something.
So he's determined. He's like, all right, fuck all of you.
I'll do it by damn self.
Dave hops counties. Goes to the next county, hires a new crew of workers. And part of this agreement is that you have to stay on the property in the barn. That way they could work from sun up to sundown.
What's our wages here, Dave? We're going to have to discuss this a little bit.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of discussing because that 50-man crew lasted 24 hours.
Yeah.
They were gone.
Yeah.
So much so that all of them ended up leaving in the middle of the fucking night.
They didn't even make it 24 hours.
They said, fuck this.
Made about 18.
We're outie 5,000. We ain't staying for this.
I'm not blaming them.
Hell no.
I guarantee you that wasn't in Big Dave's contract.
No, fuck no. Hey. He definitely neglected to mention some things.
Yeah. You're going to be logging sun up, sun down. Hard work, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work. Mm-hmm. You have to stay on the property.
Good pay. Good pay once the job's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got barn set up.
Yeah, you're good.
They're your quarters. You can hang out there. Things that you won't have to worry about is giant flesh-eating cryptids that want to murder you.
Yeah.
That was in the finer print.
And now apparently, and I'm curious to how this plays out. Maybe in the beginning, it was more about warnings than anything. Because apparently the men left in the middle of the night because in the top of the barn, there was a hole, right? And it just so happens that a deer carcass was dropped through the hole in the roof of the barn.
I like to I like to think it was thrown through.
Probably was.
Because that is a lot. Like to throw a... Gotta have some meat on your bones to throw a deer.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, the head of the deer was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the kill was so fresh that the legs were still kicking and blood was still squirting from the neck.
I personally would take that as a warning.
Yeah, I think that I would probably pack my bags and leave as well. Headless deers don't just jump through roofs.
No, you're right.
It just doesn't happen.
They don't do that.
Never seen that before in my life.
No, they don't move a whole lot.
Not sticking around to find out why it did it.
Part of me wants to be optimistic and think this is like a guardian of the forest kind of thing. Like, oh, we're going to stop these evil loggers from, you know, pillaging the land. But the other part of me knows that it's probably just a bloodthirsty, murderous creature. Because you're not going to convince me that you're all pro the forest if you keep using forest creatures as weapons and warnings.
I mean, that's a pretty good point.
You know?
I think the angle that you're running here, you're about 50-50. You take 50-50 of that analysis, and that's where they're actually at.
Because if you want to protect the forest and you're going to set up a warning, you're just going to decapitate forest creatures and stick them on sticks and say, hey, be nice to the environment.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And I do. I mean, I love that. This is a
murder canine cult.
It's a fucking good point.
Yeah. You ain't convince me otherwise.
It is a good point that these things just have zero fucks. And they're like, you know, fuck it. I know how to send a message.
No regard for any other life.
No, I'm just going to grab Bambi and impale it. That way they know we're not playing.
Yeah. I'm going to use a hog as a weapon.
Also,
I have that in my brain. Like, I have an image of that in my brain.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's also crazy that, like, think about that too. Think about how shitty it is to be around them and be a less superior animal.
That's where it was going.
Because So they're like, all right, you know what? We'll warn the humans. We'll warn them. But we don't give a fuck about anything else in these woods.
No, you're just a deer.
We don't give a fuck.
Just doing deer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just being a deer. And over here, you got loggers literally destroying your entire home. And over here, you got murderous dogman cult saying, we're going to scare these loggers off. You know how we're going to do it? And they just look directly at you.
I feel like in my head, like I envision them grabbing a deer like they would, like you and me would a marker to make a sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, here it is.
Snatch.
Plunk.
Done. You better be kind to the forest.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it though. So, hey man, hats off to the situation, right? Because I do understand this at this point, John's dad is really fucking worried about John being on the property.
Understandable.
I would be terrified too if my children were there. Ed Sr. has an idea.
Let's hear it, Ed.
He goes to meet with a man. This is a good idea. I'll give him that. This is solid.
We're with you.
He goes and meets a dude who's a part of a big game hunting club.
Bigger game, bigger guns.
A, you have guys experienced in fighting large animals.
Rhinoceroses.
And B, you're meeting with a club of men that have monstrous egos and would love nothing more than to bag a 10-foot wolf.
A werewolf at that.
Werewolf. I think it's a good play. It's a good idea.
If I were going to put together a team of elite dogmen fighting people, not other creatures, but people, big game hunters would be on the list.
It's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
It's solid. It's a solid plan.
Marines.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
A-10 warthogs.
Yeah. Swing this hog.
Just fucking
dog man.
Napalm. So anyways, he goes to these hunters, explains the nature of these animals and how he wanted to hunt them all down. The man being a straight up fucking stud, he's like, listen, I can track these things and I can kill them. I can do this. So the next day, 8 big game hunters go onto the property and went straight into the woods with every intention of staying out there all night long and hunting these things down one by one.
It doesn't go like that, does it?
At 5 a.m.
Oh, they made it quite a bit.
One man returns.
Okay.
Beating on the back door, begging to be let in.
Yeah.
That same day, John was taken to stay with Grandma at Big Dave's house.
Good call.
Solid call.
Yeah, you made it longer than I thought you would, John.
Yeah. So now...
Holy smokes.
I'm essentially... Because this is still coming from John. I'm essentially... Like, a lot of it is probably secondhand from his father retelling the story, so on and so forth, right? So 2 weeks after this, nothing was left of the farm. The chickens, the hogs had all been killed. All the dogs had been killed. The barn had actually been set on fire in an attempt to escape the gray one.
Oh, I thought the dogmen set on fire. I'm like,
no.
These motherfuckers can start fires now?
Which now they have assessed the gray one to be the leader of the pack. So the 10-footer, they dubbed the gray one.
Old hog swinger.
Hog swinger, a.k.a. gray one, is the leader.
They just said, hell with it. We're burning the barn down.
Yeah. Yep.
I get it. You know what? That's fair. That's fair call.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's either
a solid play.
If it's either me being swung by my feet, used as a weapon, or burning the barn down, the barn's going. We can build a new barn.
Yeah, sure.
On a place that isn't infested with dogmen.
Yeah. So Ed Sr. finally abandons the property.
Put up a good fight, Ed.
Yeah. When one evening.
Not a really good fight, but you tried.
Yeah. Just before dusk, he spotted the gray one and 10 other dogmen standing on the ridgeline looking down on the farm. He quickly realizes that daylight provided zero fucking security.
That sucks.
So he leaves. He had every intention to regroup later and come back to take the property over. 2 months later, John's dad and grandfather decided they were going back to get some personal things, including the deeds to the property, which they're obviously going to need if they try to sell. So Dad, Grandpa, Barnaby, and John all traveled to the property to gather up some things. When they got there, they gave John a shotgun and basically made him the lookout. They're like, listen, you're going to sit out here and you're going to watch for these things. And if you see any of them, you shoot one shot into the air. And do not, I repeat, do not shoot the gray one.
I feel like you're pointing this out for a very specific reason.
The gray one is hyper intelligent, and they find this out later. Intelligent is kind of an understatement.
I would not want to be the lookout.
No.
Because if you're looking for them, they've already seen you. You're going to be the first thing that they spot.
Yeah.
And that's not cash money.
And I'm wondering now by analysis, because this is at this point where I'm going to end this episode. Because we have a whole nother episode we're going to.
We're just getting into the saga of the hog swinger.
We're just breaking the surface. I'm wondering now if Dogman does have a flaw. I wonder if Dogman's eyesight is not that great. And this is foreshadowing. This is foreshadowing.
Does a lot of this stuff takes place in the dark, though. I wonder if it's better in the dark.
That could be a thing.
You know,
that makes sense because the scenario that's about to play out, that makes sense.
Don't shoot the gray one.
Because you would think, because they're obviously there in the daylight.
I'm shooting a gray one.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that thing.
That's dominance right there.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a
drop
shit.
Drop the big dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Gotta get you some.
I agree. And then maybe the rest of the pack will scatter.
Yeah. Cut the head off the snake.
Yeah.
And then get murdered.
Yeah.
Because he's, from what we know, not that we can necessarily pin down who did what, but from what we know, he's the most aggressive. He was the one that was swinging the hog, right?
Yes.
So we don't know who threw the deer, but we can assume.
Probably him.
It was him. So probably he's hyper aggressive. Sometimes you just got to.
Which is, you know.
Got to get it.
Kind of an alpha thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you got like, were you going to fight off 12 other dog men? No. No, you just do crazy shit.
Yeah.
Where they don't want to fight you.
It's true.
It's easy as that.
And I'm glad this is a good stopping point because this more foreshadowing / spoiler. this is the kickoff of the Great War. It's like a couple night siege, but it is so much more.
I love it.
It is so much more than you anticipate, Dogman.
It's already ran out. 60 lumberjacks and assuming murdered 7 big game hunters.
Plus 1 logger.
Plus
so
a logger.
You're 8 bodies in at this point.
That we know of.
Yeah, that at least.
That, yeah. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Trust me, this is the tip of the iceberg.
Aim for the face.
The story gets so much better. And Steve, that statement there, you might have just unknowingly unlocked a weakness of the Dogman.
Shooting him in the face. I hope so.
Are you somehow manifesting Barnaby right now?
I am Barnaby.
I think that you are.
I've been shouting him out all night.
I think you channeled him.
Me and
remember this moment.
Me and because B-Bun locked in.
Remember this moment because it will become relevant in part 2.
Am I psychic right now?
I think that you are.
Am I psychic right now?
I think you have fully manifested Barnaby into your being.
Have I just astral projected back into the Locket siege?
Yes.
My conscience is there right now.
Without question.
I'm there fighting Dogman telepathically.
You are. I'll prove it in episode 2.
Steve from the future has traveled back to the siege, and I'm like,
Barnaby, aim for the face, bro.
Yeah.
Aim for the face.
He's like, I will bet.
I will prove this in episode 2.
Yeah. So, that being said, you guys are going to have to tune in next week to watch me telepathically take over Locket Ranch. That's how it is. Thanks for hanging out with us this Monday. Hope you guys have a great work week. Be sure to tune in next week for part 2.
Check us out all our social medias. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, hype, any all that dumb bullshit that we got to do to get in the algorithm. Do all that stuff. And until we meet again, Hollow Cult, stay safe, stay weird. Shout out Barnaby.